Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The mothers, after embracing their son, set him on their laps. Here, him means Krishna. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breast. They were overwhelmed with delight, and tears from their eyes wetted the load. Purport, very short purport. When Lord Krishna was at Vrindavan, even the cows would become moistened by affection towards him, and he would draw milk from the nipples of every affectionate living being. So, what to speak of the stepmothers who were already as good as his own mother? Purport end. Om Jnana Timinandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umiltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manuvishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Pichakam Vistamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishavanuste Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Taruvyasya Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before I speak, I seek blessings from all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis and the senior devotees. Pancha Kalpa Tarubhasya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Here again, very interesting subject. Krishna is already grown up, not baby here. So he just arrived from Hastinapur to Dwarka. So previously we saw different description of Krishna's arrival and the welcoming from the people, citizens. But here, Krishna welcomed by mothers by being offered their breast. So that understand, but another thing is that Krishna sat on their laps and then sucking the milk in front of everybody. In general, the ladies, they don't expose their breast, is their culture. But some culture, actually, they showing their breast so that the sign of their pride and the sign of their motherhood. But here, very interesting description that although Krishna is grown up, Krishna is sucking the milk, then what do we understand from this? That's our discussion today. So, anything described here, ultimately, we need to have bhakti to understand. So without bhakti, if we try to understand, then abhajananti mam buddha, we become buddha, and then we have tendency to laugh at it. So maybe other people who read this, maybe they laugh at it. Supreme Lord, they're sucking the milk from the breast. Not even baby is grown up. That's why bhaktya mam abhajananti yabanyas jasmi tatvata. You can understand only bhakti. So then, why bhakti requires to understand this? So then we need to go back to a bit basic topic of Bhagavad Gita. So people in general, motivation of their activity is kama, their desire, whatever they may be. So Vedic culture is that, yes, you can have kama, you can have desire, but unfortunately, everyone's desire is clashing with someone else's desire. So there is a two party. One person wants to make money, to make a business. One party has to lose some or other. We say win-win situation, but actually, we can hardly see win-win situation. So for example, mobile company, one mobile company doing well, and then the other mobile company not doing well. This is a kind of a typical example. So that nowadays, for example, people want to go to good school, good college, good university, but the place is limited. So if I get in, everyone wants to get in, and someone else can't get in. So in this way, the karma is somehow or other is conflict with others' karma. Then sometimes people, due to strong urge and desire, even they do illegal means to achieve what they want to achieve. So in order to handle this situation, they put dharma. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So first thing is that in Vedic culture, they put dharma first before they teach how to pursue their desire. Ultimately, everyone wants to be happy. How are they happy? They get what they want. If they get what they want, they become happy. So karma requires artha, the means and the wealth. But the means and wealth has to be on the frame of dharma. So then how to acquire this wealth, artha, is based on punya. But Western culture, they don't mention about punya. They mention about only their merit, how much they put their energy into it, how much they bright they are. But in the Eastern culture, is that they go a bit roundabout way. So they come to the temple, they offer something, they pray. And so they do good deed. Then good karma creates good result. So in this way, a lot of, when you see the Indian community, the basic concepts that come to the God is that to create punya. Punya is like a currency of your material gains. In order to gain something, you need to have punya. So opposite of punya is the pap, sin. So if you're sinning, then unfortunate situation will face. So many things you can mention, accident or disease or whatever. So then, problem of punya is that punya is like as a currency that if you use it, then you lose it. So it can't be eternal. That's why, tetam bhungtuva svarga lokam vishalam shine punya malta lokam vishanti. So, tetam buktva. Once you enjoyed it, svalokam vishalam. Highest enjoyment you can get is, in general, they think about heavenly planet. Why? Enjoyment heavenly planet is vishalam, very wide, very vast. The houses are vast, and then enjoyment is vast. Everything is big. Bishalam. But and yet, Shinye Punya. The Punya is Shinye. When it finishes, and then Marta Lokam Bishanti, you have to come back down. Like you go to a holiday, and then you can't stay holiday forever. Why? Because your material means will finish soon. As soon as your material means finishes, and you go back to original place, and you work more for next holiday. So this is a circle. So some people wants to get out of this circle. So I've had enough. Then they seek moksha. So this is a whole circle. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But here we talk about something higher than this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. What is that? That is called bhakti. So this is bhakti. It's not easy to achieve, actually. Bhagavad-gita says, Manushanam sāśreṣu kāścit yatati siddhaya. Out of all the people, thousand people, only small amount of people seeking this perfection. And then, yatatam api siddhānam. Rarely some people achieving the highest goal. And then, kāścimām veti tatvata. But out of those who achieved the perfection, the highest goal, and yes, very, very small amount of people who wants to try to get bhakti. So why is that? Again, Bhagavatam says that, mukundaha muktim dadati karichisma. So Krishna gives mukti very easily, but na bhakti yoga, na bhakti yoga, he doesn't give easily. Why? Bhakti is such a rare thing that you can experience. So that the distinct and unique relationship with Lord is not easy to gain. But ultimately, this is the highest pleasure we can get in this material world and spiritual world. So Prabhupada gave us very, very high, let's say, goal or highest pleasure offered us. So then why the people seeking this highest pleasure? We have to think about it. Ultimately, in material world, there is always sukha and dukkha. So there is a certain happiness and there is a certain distress. But this sukha is part of dukkha. These people doesn't realize it. It's a chain of dukkha. Sukha is a chain of dukkha. Why is that? Sometimes we have a certain pleasure, but that pleasure is part of dukkha. Why is that? So, you think about your own life. Any good experience you have materially or through your bodily senses, or your mind and ego, whatever experience you had, that experience, that happiness, always doesn't last long. For example, you have nice prasadam. This is a very gross example. So today we had a fantastic feast. That feast, and then you have a good meal, and then you're fully satisfied. But soon or after, you need to have another meal. But when they have another meal, you only think about the previous meal you had, the fantastic meal. So that you have another good meal, but actually your mind is the experience you had before, so that you cannot appreciate what you have now. This is a chain. So sometimes you offer the good journey to certain place. So let's say you had a very nice journey. But because if you have a nice journey, next time when you have a journey, always the nice journey has you back up your mind. So then next journey, no matter how good it is, always you experience that journey. You're remembering that. So you constantly our mind comparing. So this mindset, we cannot get rid of it. It's inborn with it. So we pursue sukha But actually, that sukha is leading to another dukkha. That's why in olden days, in one of the Greek philosophers, they get sukha through tapasya. Once you develop the different taste of sukha, so rather than enjoying it, you're trying to find the pleasure of resisting it or controlling it. So highest pleasure they get through the denial. So, but what Prabhupada offers, what Srimad Bhavana offers is that something higher than that. So there is certain pinching, then if you stop pinching, then you feel very relieved. So one time I heard one story that the heavy rugby players is very, very muscly and then very aggressive. So when he finish rugby game, when he comes to the locker room to get changed, first thing he does, people take a shower, he bang the head. Keep banging, banging, banging. And then one person asks, why you keep banging? Your head must hurt. You know what? When I stop it, it feels so good. So, you know, feeling relief, he has to bang first. So, this is the happiness of the people to pursue austerity, tapasya. So in this way, one happiness coming from the austerity or some difficulties or certain pain, when you stop it, then you feel relieved. So that is one type of happiness. This is called Brahmananda. But our happiness is a much higher than that. What is that? It's called Premananda. So once you develop love, then the exchange we have here the far higher than any other pleasure. So as you see here, all the mothers and the Krishnas, their unique relationship, their rasa, and then their love, their prema, is very, very sweet. But they're saying that there is something higher than Premananda. Anyone? There is Brahmananda, there is Premananda, there is something higher than... Yeah, Sevananda, you know, yeah. Why Sevananda is a bit higher? Because when Prema comes, then our bodily function won't be proper. So tears comes out, we are rolling on the ground, trembling. So our seva opportunity get lost. So that's why people recommend Sevananda. So now we have a marathon here. A lot of people going out the street, and then now they're showing the pictures of the how they meet the people. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda ki jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, this Sevananda is higher than this Premananda. So that we have a wonderful opportunity of this book distribution. So you hear so many times of the, you know, the stories of book distribution. I myself, through the books, somehow I got in touch with the Hare Krishna movement. It was very strange. I just share with you one story of mine. I was a hippie. That I was traveling in the Middle East area, and then Israel, and then one, you know, when you traveling as a hippie, then there is no fixed arrangement of accommodation. So you go there anywhere you cheap. You find anywhere cheap, you just go there. So in Israel, it's called a place called Yaffa. So we are looking for the place of a very cheap place to stay. So, with my friend, we went there. And then there, you know, the gathering room, and then there was some books and the magazines, and then I saw very, very strange picture. Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. It's the back of, or maybe front of, the science of self-realization. And I was very intrigued, I never seen that kind of picture before. And I was kind of just drawn into it, and I picked it up. And then my friend said, "Hey, my friend, don't even look at it. Once you look at it, you'll be crazy." And I saw a lot of crazy people looking at people like, reading books like that. So he was a very good friend of mine, and then he used to carry a huge camera, so wherever you go, he took pictures, and he wanted to show for the other people. And he said, and then I hesitated. Oh, really? It's only crazy people read this book? Maybe I should read. But maybe I give it a try. And then I opened the book, and again, kind of science of self-realization, kind of a very, very interesting subject, isn't it? Self-realization. And then, at the time, not much of understanding of English. So I just look at the pictures, and then look at the back, and then I saw Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, and then these things. So at that moment, I couldn't dare to read it. So somehow, very strangely, internally, I couldn't leave that book. Somehow like a magnet. So maybe when my friend is Nazi, I have to read. And then I took it to the room. And then I didn't get a chance to read. And then I put it to the back in the somehow I put it into the bag rather than putting the original place to put it back. So in another sense, I nicked it. So then, due to Krishna arrangement, so I arrived in London, and then somehow, you know, I was hungry, so people looking for a cheap place to eat. And then at that time, I was eating only bread and water. And one friend of mine in the cheap use hostel saying that, "You only eating bread, you go one place, there is a, you know, pretty lunch." So that place is Soul Street. So I walked to the where I used to stay and walked a long way to that place. And then as soon as I entered, actually it was the prasadam time. What a time arrived. And then after nearly 2 weeks, eating bread, water only, and then they serving rice, dal, sabji. Oh, it was a heaven. And then after eating meal, and then when I saw Prabhupada, oh, this gentleman I saw somewhere. And then where did I see? I couldn't get two pictures together. And then I realized, oh, Science of Self-Realization, in the back of Science of Self-Realization, I saw that book. Then I start to read the book, and then I come back again, Soul Street, again and again, and then they recommend me. So if you're interested, there is a Bhakta course here, so you go to Bhaktivedanta Manor, you learn nicely. So this is how I joined. I don't know who left this Science of Self-Realization in Israel, in such a cheap use hotel, in the one of, you know, the bookshelf, nobody wants to touch it. But somehow, I got in touch with this book, and then it turned around my life entirely. So, we used to say time bomb. Yes, it is a time bomb. We don't know whatever books is going out, what kind of impact it will make, then we don't know yet. But one day, somehow or other, this will kind of blast. It will take effect. So in this way, now on Vyasa-san, we are talking about this exalted subject. But ultimately, this is subject has to lead to Sevananda, to our pleasure to continue. So that I'd like to thank you, everybody, for your attention. And at the same time, anybody who goes on the street, have a courage that we don't know. Just the one book you gave out maybe saved another person's life. So that I'd like to end here. If there is any question and comment, I'll take.